Welcome to Girls Room, where each week we unpack the foundational text of the 2010s, HBO's Girls. I'm Julia Gray, and with me I have my incredible co-host, Drew Haskins.
Howdy.
And we have a very special repeat guest joining us tonight, writer at The Atlantic and author of Everything I Need I Get From You, Caitlin Tiffany.
Hello. Glad to be back. I did realize, actually just now that the last time I was on the pod, I was 29 and I am now 30. So,
Things have
like
changed.
firmly outside of the girls' experience, which is like kind of unmooring.
Wow. Well, maybe you'll bring a whole new perspective to it now that you're of a certain age.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'm so happy to have you on also in our Zoom era off of the we're no longer tied to the Spotify Green Room app.
Oh, right. I
From
forgot
that,
about that app.
well,
That
it
when
doesn't
I have
exist
to download an app,
anymore.
it's a traumatic experience, so I block it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just so excited to have you on also to talk about this specific episode.
Okay, same. We'll get to it obviously, but having a weird emotional experience in Kellogg's Diner is like really resonant for me.
Okay,
Yeah.
so this
Yes.
is kind of one of the eternal questions I have about the girls' Brooklyn experience. Do the places they go really align with where people actually go in Brooklyn? Because I've never lived in Brooklyn. This is all foreign to me. Like I'm like truly, it's like cultural tourism for me every time I watch this show.
Well, okay, so the girls of girls, it's a little confusing where they're supposed to be a lot of the time, but I believe that Hannah lives in Greenpoint and Adam supposedly lives in Prospect Heights, which is where I live. I will say if I saw a person like Adam Driver in Girls walking around Prospect Heights, it would be shocking because Prospect Heights is like fancier Park Slope at this point. So that part doesn't make sense to me, but some of it I think does. Like Ray's coffee shop, it was filmed in Speedy Romeo, which is
Oh, I
like,
didn't know that.
yeah, like cool
Wow.
Bed-Stuy pizza restaurant. So I can see that. And Kellogg's makes sense to me. If you were like running errands in Williamsburg and you were like, unfortunately, this is our only option, where we can sit down and have some mediocre food and like an emotional chat.
And also, it looked like an evening meal.
Yeah.
So, and
Yeah.
that seems about right if you just don't want anything fussy and it's like a quick. I mean, I would not go to Kellogg's for dinner unless it was like late
That
and.
would not be on purpose. And I also do think about when they go to like the warehouse party in Bushwick, and they're like, I'm never coming to Bushwick again. That's pretty accurate, I would say, for their like brand of girl.
For
It's just a
sure.
little there.
Or even my brand of girl at this
Your brand
point.
of girl too, yeah.
I had
I
a
can't
really
think about it.
embarrassing moment watching this episode, recognizing the exact street that I walked down in Dumbo 8 years ago when like Ray and Adi Bryant are like
Oh yeah.
going
They
down the
have a
little cobblestone streets. I'm like, oh, I know that. And I'm like, oh yeah, because I was basically like cosplaying Brooklyn for a day. Like, of course I went down
great.
there to like
Yeah.
do
Wait, that
it.
actually, that setting is maybe the only one that doesn't make that much sense to me because, like, okay, they were having lunch with Shosh at Saragina, right? In Bed-Stuy. And then they're like interviewing old people in Bed-Stuy. How do they end up over in Dumbo on the carousel? That's not making sense.
Honestly, they could have just been like, let's make a day of it. Wanna go to Dumbo. That's something I could see. If you're on like a never-ending date, I could see that being a like,
Yeah.
wouldn't it like be random and go to Dumbo? I would say
True.
like no, but you
Maybe
know.
it's also supposed to be like the evolution of Ray's character is that presumably in any other season he would have never ever gone to Dumbo for any reason.
That's a good point.
Yeah. We do
Yeah.
see Ray being very limited to his own neighborhood, both like either, especially in these later seasons, like he's usually either in the coffee shop or I get like running for city council on that one weird little
Yeah.
side plot. But
So funny. Before we get into the episode, should we just get right into it, or should we do some of our other culture catch-ups?
well, One of the reasons I was really excited to have Caitlin back on today is because not she is a very elevated cultural person, but she's also down to get into the muck of the Bravo universe and I mean
Oh, yeah.
various other sordid affairs with us. And I think we are at a very good place with most of the Bravo shows right now, and I kind of wanted to touch base and see where we're all at.
It's a really rich period, like time of year for the Bravo universe, I feel, because we have currently going SLC, Potomac, Beverly Hills, Vanderpump Rules is on its way. And the trailer, I was surprised. I was like, this could be crazy. Who knows? As far as like what's giving the most right now, I think it has to be Salt Lake City. Although I've also been really interested in Sutton's like spiral on Beverly Hills this year. She's been doing a lot for me.
Yeah, I'm a little behind on Beverly Hills in that I have not seen this week's episode, but the dinner party from hell was fantastic. I love it when they get a ton of friends of in the mix. The Sutton Kyle drama is very interesting to me because I think they're both really, really annoying.
Yeah.
But as a longtime Kyle hater, I appreciate this takedown.
I disagree with your Kyle hate. I feel like Kyle is special and deserves protection.
I love Kyle. I think she's so funny.
I hate Sutton. Sutton's bizarre.
Okay,
See.
so Sutton is really strange and like her whole thing in Vegas was like so. I did feel for her because I was like, that's so transparent and sad that like you got jealous because like you didn't get to go up on stage at Magic Mike and then freaked out on everyone. Like, oh gosh, it makes you shudder. And so in that sense, I am like, that's my darkest nightmare is to behave like that, and I'm sure that I have. So in that way, I feel for her, but I don't get why she's on Kyle's ass. I don't get it. Leave her alone. She just doesn't want to drink right now.
I think it's less of the drinking thing and more that the drinking is a metaphor for basically else everything else that's going on. It's always been like this on Beverly Hills, where they use one minor issue as a kind of little Trojan horse for all of the other massive issues behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I think what the women are really mad at Kyle about is that she is a lesbian getting divorced from her husband and just will not talk about it on the show, which is not fair because everyone else is talking about their random shit. So why not Kyle?
Honestly,
Yeah.
that's a good point I didn't even consider. Like, girl, out with it. That's what I'm tuning in for.
It's true, but I don't know. It must be hard. She's been married to him for 27 years. Everyone like thinks that they're like, the paragon of like long-term love with their like Little Women daughters or whatever. It'd be hard to like fess up. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I would love to see like the Umansky March sisters, like some sort of modern update with that. That's so
Actually,
good.
I should retract that because I feel like Teresa and her daughters were more Little Women because especially when the dad was in prison. That was
Marmee Giudice, like that is so literary. Like,
like
oh my God. I mean, even through all the annoying bits and bobs of it, like I think the season has gotten pretty good recently. It's still one reason I think Salt Lake is so compelling though, is that unlike the Beverly Hills women, they are so transparent and so direct with each other because they just don't have the same tact.
Yeah.
Right. They also don't have the same, like, I guess, years of experience in learning how to be on the show and how they want to portray themselves. Like, it's a shorter, smaller, whatever. It's been on for fewer years.
Yeah. And they're not actors either. Like, I think Sutton is a great housewife because she's a weird small business owner. And I think that is the secret sauce to being a good housewife. Like having these extremely famous socialites and actresses come in is not, I think people are just too self-aware and too guarded in that atmosphere. In Salt Lake City, they're all weird small business owners, which is, I mean, Monica has the smallest business of all, and she's one of the best new housewives we've had in years.
Literally and figuratively,
Yeah.
it's for babies. It's the smallest that you could be as a business.
Plus, it's literally just like pieces of fabric that she's done nothing to.
I really think that's such a hilarious grift that. I mean, I wonder how much she makes a month in sales, like ballpark.
I'm honestly scared of her. I find her relationship with her daughter to be like really upsetting. And also, this week when she was insisting that her family in Bermuda like didn't meet her because her mom called and intervened, I was kind of like, you're making that up.
Yeah, I don't know how true that is.
They probably didn't want to be on a Bravo program.
Yeah, I think it's more likely that they did not want to be on the show. I know those kinds of location-based shoots, especially same day ones, are planned a little bit in advance with waivers and who is agreeing to be filmed on camera. So I
Yeah.
think they probably just backed out at the last minute same day because because they didn't want to be on camera. But like I did see a lot of Twitter chatter that Monica was making this whole thing up, that they were never even gonna go see the family at all. And I'm like, okay, well, like let's take a step back from that a little bit. Monica is a weird liar, but I don't think that she would willingly like throw away like family camera time when that's been her entire solo
Yeah.
storyline this season.
Yeah. Plus, I think that would have leaked from production if that were true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of leaks, what do y'all think about Meredith the Mole?
Oh my God, I hate Meredith. It's crazy because season one, I was like, Meredith Marks is an icon. Now, every time she's on camera, I feel like a visceral rage. I'm like, there's something so wrong with you, but not in like a fun or cool or interesting way. I think like she's like mean, she's like brain damaged from like I don't know. There's
I mean,
something.
she's on Crocodile or something. Like, it's really alarming. We saw her overdose last week.
That was
Yeah.
really disturbing.
That
I
was
mean,
really weird. Who takes Xanax and then drinks alcohol? Normal people don't do that. Like, they were acting like it was just kind of like a funny little miscalculation of like, oh, she accidentally took two entire Xanax and then she accidentally had several cocktails on the plane. Like, that's not an accident. That's like
yeah.
dangerous on purpose.
On like an 8-hour flight.
Yeah.
Yeah, something's going on with that woman. How do you feel about Lisa Barlow,
Love,
though?
love.
God, this is a sister safe space for Lisa Bar legend. I also found her charming. I think a lot of my love for her is genuine, but there is obviously this ironic fascination with a woman so seemingly self-aware, but also so out of control of her own like reactions to things. Like
Yeah.
she was remarkably empathetic this week in a way that I don't think I would ever describe her as an empath otherwise.
I mean, the way she comforted Monica was interesting. I didn't
Yeah.
expect it.
And issuing a full retraction, being like, I don't have a lot of insight into her and her mom's dynamic, and what I've seen myself is probably not the whole story. I was like,
Yeah.
that's as close as we're going to get to an apology. And it's
Yeah.
pretty well
Well,
worth it. Yeah.
yeah. I appreciate about her too that like sometimes when people become fan favorites, then you can see them in the subsequent season like really play it up and like try way too hard. But I feel like she actually can't, she can't be anything other than what she is naturally. So she like can't do that and she can't
Yeah.
like ruin it.
She's on a mission to serve Lisa and she loves that for herself.
Yeah. At the end of the
There
day,
was a
people who can
remarkable.
influence me are God and my husband and my kids.
She
I mean,
is an incredible
the
woman.
taglines on Salt Lake are just too good to be believed.
Yeah. Especially when like every other franchise is really half-assing the taglines right now too. Like it's nice to have people who show up to work. Yeah,
Wait, Karen on Potomac, her tagline is so bizarre. It's like,
what is it?
I don't ride the fence, honey. I am the fence. You ride me. I was like, what does that mean?
What?
It's
Fuck.
Karen. I love Karen. I think she's really kind of the only bright light on Potomac right now. Logic has never been her strong suit. And also figurative language in general. Like, she did this really insane frozen store-bought pie metaphor this week about
Yes.
Robin that I had to rewind because I was just like, I don't know what you're talking about here. Like,
Yeah, she's great. I
yeah.
love I the confessionals on that show are so good.
I just Googled because I didn't really believe that that was her tagline, and it is exactly her tagline.
Oh yeah.
You
Oh yeah.
write me.
And
Ooh.
it's not necessarily that she is like a fence in general. Like, she's the only cast member who is actually interested in filming a good television show and getting everyone in the same room to talk, because the Potomac's bad right now because no one wants to be in the same room as each other. Everyone clearly loathes each other after years of long simmering resentments and blatant lies, and it just become an untenable situation. Like, there are a lot of shows that I think are due for a reboot, but I think Potomac really needs an infusion of fresh blood.
Wow. Well, we have some women we can introduce to them. Caitlin, you know, Drew and I grew up in Potomac.
Oh my God, wait, I did know that, but I've forgotten. That's
Yeah.
wild.
We could find some of the moms who raised our classmates.
Yeah. I can think of some truly outrageous characters. I think that's also why I like Lisa Barlow so much. Like, there is a. And also, I said this about Erin on the Roni reboot too, before things really went south with her. Like, those are two women who have very similar affects that I feel very held by somehow, even though I think that Erin's personality just warped too much in the reality TV show environment. And Lisa Barlow, like, her values are strange, but she really sticks to them. You can't say she doesn't stick to them.
Yeah.
I really do have to recommend a recent sit-down interview piece between Lisa and Jake Nevins from Interview Mag. They went to a tequila tasting at some, I think it was a hotel bar in Midtown.
Wow. I'm open.
And you would not necessarily think that what was essentially a glorified, like, advertorial for Vita Tequila would be so psychologically illuminating. But Lisa's knowledge of tequila, both as like kind of an ancient spirit and also a modern day business, was so shocking to me. And I was like, oh, you're not just like, it's not like Vicky Gunvalson doing like wines by wives or whatever. Like, you are an actual businesswoman, capital B, capital W. Like, I came away with nothing but
That
admiration and respect for Lisa
that
Barr Legend.
fucking rocks. I'm looking
Love
at it
that.
right now. The headline is hold on 1 second. I could have been trafficked. We got wasted with Lisa Barlow.
Actually, she could have been. I was just Googling. I feel like before I went to Mexico, I thought that when people talked about how there's like a lot of kidnappings, I thought that was like something racist people say, but it's apparently true. I did a lot of Googling and read a lot of Vox.com articles. It's like a small business now to just kidnap people for ransoms.
I mean, yeah. I she could have been trafficked.
She
She
could
looked
have been.
so good. She's such a beautiful woman.
She is, and she's also very beautiful in, and I don't really think this means anything because I'm sure everyone's getting work done, but like, she looks very age appropriate.
Yes, I
I don't know
totally
if that's
think her
okay to
work's
say.
good. No, it is. I mean, she has good work. She like I don't know how
But
old
she
she
also has wrinkles too.
Yeah, she has like she there's like lines that she's elected to leave that I think really make her face look
Yeah.
natural. It's very
She's
smart.
49. Yeah, no, she looks age appropriate. That's
Yeah.
exactly Right. I mean, she looks amazing and unreal, you know, in a way that someone who has probably a facelift or two looks, but also just, you know, like you said, not totally Kris Jenner.
I have seen old pictures of Lisa. I think really the only thing that she gets done, and I do mean this sincerely, I'm really good at spotting cosmetic procedures. I think she gets forehead Botox and T-zone Botox, and that is about it. I think everything else she keeps pretty minimal.
I'm
But
gonna research later, but
yeah, I mean, it's a very Luann. I think Luann is the gold standard for age-appropriate housewives, like beauty procedures. I did at several points this past week and refer to Luann as the most beautiful woman in America, and I kind of do stand by that. Like I that it's just like such an elegant, timeless
totally.
beauty. I'm almost about to cry thinking how hot I
Love
find
Luann.
Luann. It's so bad, but
I
oh
always
wait,
think of her as being
Legacy's back too.
yes, and I saw a Page Six article that was like Luann, saying Luann broke her sobriety on the girls' trip. I was
No.
like, oh no,
But like
can't do
Luann's
that, Luann.
been drinking.
But it would be hard to be sober around those people.
Oh
I
yeah.
do love Luann. I feel like she's the housewife that like I could have like a night out with and like actually have a fun time. For sure.
Oh yeah.
And
Absolutely.
she like chained cigs. She's just like a funny, she's like a classic NYC broad.
She really is.
She
She's
is
like
like the she's
all
Broad City. Like
yeah.
she I do mean this sincerely. If Luann de Lesseps ran for mayor, I would vote for Luann.
100%. I also love her voice. There's something about her, like, kind of deep, gravelly voice that is very charming to me.
Sigs.
No, and it works.
Love her.
Her, yeah,
Love
I
her.
mean, she really is. I think she kind of is like the defining housewife in a lot of ways. Like, you can make a good case for Bethany, obviously. You could make a great case for Vicky. But when I think about the combo of like elegance, humor, camp, tragedy, all of it,
Yeah.
Luann is like the archetypal housewife to me.
Totally. That's a wicked mix. Necessary. All three parts.
Like, we saw this woman start off as a countess, and now she like sings like All I Want for Christmas Is You and
I love
on
her. I
stage and
recently watched the episode, rewatched the Christmas episode where they're at Dorinda's house and she's like sitting outside with Jules, and Jules is telling her that her dad is dying, and Luann like literally doesn't react at all to Jules saying that, and just goes, "Did you hear the kinds of things they were saying about me in there?
oh my
What they were
God.
saying about me?" And Jules is like, "Yeah, my dad's dying though."
Wait, what season is this? How can I watch
It's
this?
season eight. It's
Yeah.
a season she gets married, or like gets engaged to Tom too, and they go on the trip to Miami, and Bethany gets the tip that Tom's been like seen like canoodling with a woman at like the Standard or something. It's just
Luann sends the voice text. She goes, "How could you do this to me? Question mark."
Wait, this is kind of coming back to me. I guess I probably didn't see it, but maybe I've seen clips from it.
It's
Well,
also the season where they have a psychic party at Carol's apartment, and the psychic predicts that Dorinda and her like gross laundress boyfriend John are going to break up, and Ramona involuntarily says, "Oh, thank God," and then covers her mouth as if she was trying to like stuff the words back
oh
in.
my
It's
God.
they're so funny. I mean, Ramona's a rancid person, but I'm very excited to see them on screen. Later tonight, I will be watching it. So,
Wait, it's starting tonight?
oh, it's out already. It came out today. I just haven't had time to watch it.
My God, hell yeah.
We have so Bravo really is giving a lot to us right now.
I know. Although Andy, I don't know what I don't know where your listeners fall in the political landscape, but I've had to mute Andy Cohen a little bit because he's been very like
Yeah, both sides-y.
Andy of Israel.
Yeah, he's been He's been a lot. It's sort of like, I mean, I get why, though. I feel like he probably feels like he uses Judaism as part of his brand so heavily that I feel like he probably is on, like, it's like a press thing where he's like, I have to play to the, I don't know.
I mean, I'm being honest with myself. I'm not going to stop watching Bravo over it, but I've just needed to see a little bit less of him. Yeah,
Yeah.
for sure.
That is, I think, extremely fair. I think that I don't follow a lot of the Bravo celebrities on social media because the politics are so repellent in many instances that I mean I think about Vicky Gunvalson once a day as like one of the most fascinating women who has ever lived. But she is like, we literally on TV saw her be a COVID denier while suffering from the effects of long COVID in Dorinda's Berkshire's mansion, like an Exorcist sequel, like really crazy stuff. And like she still posts some really reprehensible stuff on social media. And like at a certain point, you kind of just have to tap out. Like, I don't think Luann, I mean, if there was ever a like apolitical libertarian, it's Luann de Lesseps, but like Luann, I don't click through the stories. I just look at the glamour shots. I look at her like doing her little like Liza Minnelli covers, and I just keep it pushing.
Call it a day.
I love how that we can be down to the housewives, but I do love how they just completely memory hold the Salt Lake City housewife who ended up being like a psychotic racist, Jenny.
Oh
They
yeah.
my God,
just
Jenny.
never mentioned her again.
I
She's
memory hold
not,
Jenny.
no mention.
And you just rewatched season two, didn't you, Julia?
Yeah.
And you still
Jenny.
memory hole.
Oh my God. Wow. What a trip.
She
My
just showed up
bummer.
to an event that the Wild Rose threw pretty recently, unannounced, and like took pictures with Whitney. And Whitney had to be like, I do not know this woman.
Oh
She
my
showed
God.
up uninvited. It was so bad. And I was just like, get the there. Salt Lake City is a very thirsty city, and I think it works for like the Angie K's and Monica's of the world, but it's not for everyone. Housewives is not for everyone. Should we get into the girls?
Yes, another set of girls. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So we are on to season six, episode eight. As we mentioned before, like really a standout episode. Last week, Hannah told her the father of her unborn child, Paul Louis, that she's pregnant, and he did not care. And Elijah went out for a Broadway musical and got a call back. I think that's how it ends, right? He gets the call back and we don't know what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure I didn't forget any outcome. Yeah, we should go through girl or plot line by plot line, starting with Hannah and Adam.
Yeah. So we open on Adam pitching Jess essentially on ditching her to raise a baby that is not his with Hannah because he thinks about Hannah all the time and he just feels an obligation to do this.
Yeah, and Jess is just so nonplussed. She says, "You gotta do what you gotta do." Like, completely trying to not care, and you know, it looks like she doesn't care. We see later she deeply cares, but
Yeah, she says, "I'm not a zookeeper." She's also wearing her first of several, like really chic, barely outfits, of the episode. Just like a white cloth triangle bra and white, like classic cut, like women's briefs. Flawless.
Flawless.
She's very bralette in this episode.
Yeah. I mean, her abs are out and about in this episode.
Yeah, I'm interested. Like, I wonder what that choice was about. Like, I mean, it is summer as we learn, but I don't know. I feel like that there has to be something behind the costume choice to have her like
Yeah.
perpetually in a
Yeah.
bralette.
I did think that the white, I was like, would Jessa necessarily be like a matching set type of girl? I kind of think no, but. She looked
I
amazing.
kind of think no too.
Yeah. She did look really great. It did make sense that she was in bralettes the whole time, though, because as we see in the next scene, it's like 105 degrees in New York. Like, Hannah is fully topless, nude, belly out on her couch, making Elijah bring her like ice cubes.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I was reminded of my biggest fear, which is being pregnant in the summer in New York and not having central AC. Sounds just, I mean, from the looks of it, it seems really awful and hard.
Oh yeah.
People do it, but
People do it. This was just another excuse to get Andrew Reynolds isn't in his underwear though. Like,
I
he is
love
constantly
Elijah
in little
being.
briefs.
He's so funny.
I loved his line. I'm too pretty to go to a cooling station. So funny. Oh my, he's the best. We didn't get much of him this episode, but what we did get was
Gold.
gold.
All was gold.
Then he offers to, he's like, it's gonna be a real mind fuck for me if you want to get an abortion right now. 'Cause she's like crying or something. She's like,
Yeah.
I don't want an abortion. I'm having a feeling. It's different.
It's so funny. I mean, I feel like just how we've been talking each week while we're doing the sixth season, just how it's so clear that Hannah has matured and is like less of a narcissist now that, you know, she's had a lot of experiences and is now pregnant. And Elijah, I feel like maybe is just like the Hannah's, I don't know, he's still stuck in the kind of narcissist mindset.
Yeah.
Like just that comment. No shade, just a observation.
But she is conveniently feeling this need or this concern over like whether her kid needs a dad at the exact same time that Adam is kind of forcing that role on her.
Yeah, he comes to find her in her bodega. She's getting popsicles and she says something about the bodega guy being her friend, and I just thought, of course Hannah's the type of girl to like be like, yeah, I'm friends with my bodega guy, like we're
Yeah.
friends, we're on a
I
first
thought
name.
that was such good writing because, first of all, like that didn't even become a trope until like at least 5 years later. Like the trope
So
of
true.
like gentrifying white people, like pretending to have close relationships with their bodega person. And so that was very ahead of its time. And the line delivery is also so good. She's like, anything you want to say, you can say in front of my friend Amir. He is my close
He
friend.
is my close friend. I mean, yeah, she wrote the tropes before they were tropes.
Yeah.
But Adam says he wants to raise the baby, wants to love the baby as if it's his own. He doesn't want to be away from Hannah any longer. And then they go back to her apartment and have sex. And Adam does this whole thing where he's like listening to her belly and has
Oh.
this weird, this conversation with the baby. It really made me nauseous. It just felt so, I know performative's not the right word, but whatever people mean when they say performative, and also just selfish again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
Yeah, it
was
felt
this
really
like
wrong.
imposition of their former relationship on this circumstance. Just, I think, like, we're supposed to think that it's a little off the whole episode. Like, I was thinking about the timeline of really the entire show. And I think at this point, they have not been together for 2 full years. And it would be so weird to have an ex-boyfriend from 2 years ago come back in your life when you're pregnant and be like, we're doing this.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, I mean, I was thinking as I was watching, how could you, like, of course your first instinct is what the hell, and your second is like, of course, yes, how could you say no to that kind of when you're
Yeah.
so kind of, I mean, initially when you're so not desperate but feeling like I need a help, someone to help me, and I need a father figure. Here he comes, but I don't know. It's like it feels very manipulative. Then Laird comes in. Love Laird after hearing that Hannah is pregnant, And he says he's up for raising the baby too, which I mean, we nothing really happens after that, but I love a
Yeah.
good layered moment.
And
I
then
love his pitch. He's very like, he like tells retells the whole story of his life as like leading to this moment. Actually, when he was telling the story, I was almost kind of like, this makes more sense than raising the baby with Adam. Like, not that she would be in a sexual romantic relationship with Laird, but it's like you're two single parents who live in the same building. Like, to collaborate in some way on raising your children actually like is a fairly good idea. I mean, he seems like
Yeah.
a normal-ish person now, like a weird guy, but like the baby looks adorable and healthy.
Adorable.
I mean, that the thing about Laird is that everyone counts him out. No one listens to him, but sometimes he says some things that are he has some ideas.
He has ideas. I did like this as a payoff to the now 5 seasons long arc of Laird having a crush on Hannah, though. Like, in the most extreme declaration of love and support.
That's taken so unseriously.
Yeah.
So funny.
But their interactions did start with Hannah trying to get them or get him to buy them Coke so she could go to a party and stalk Adam.
True. Full
Like,
circle.
full circle. That Hannah is a very different Hannah than the Hannah we've seen now.
Yeah, for sure. At another point, Hannah like questions Adam about what it's like having sex with Jessa, which is so Hannah, and I also just so get that, you know, like you're kind of like you want to anger yourself, you know? And Adam says Jessa laughs a lot during sex. And in the same conversation, Hannah reveals very specific anxieties about having and killing her baby.
The Jessa laughing a lot thing too. I'm sorry, I really feel like this was an exceptional Lena Dunham acting episode because her like delivery of that scene is so funny. She's like, he's like, she laughs a lot and she's like, what, like a fucking freak? Excuse me, I don't want to judge.
Really is a great acting episode for Lena.
Oh, yeah.
So good. And only goes up and up and up. It's all going towards a peak. There's no valleys.
No valleys.
Yeah, I mean, we're approaching the peaks right now because there were two moments that I cried during this episode, both of which are Hannah related. So after they're walking from park, they go into this baby. Well, actually, it was like a hardware store, I
Yeah,
guess,
it's like a
kind of
hardware
thing.
store slash. It was one of those weird stores where you're like, I don't understand where they sourced these items.
Yeah.
It's like not quite a hardware store, but not quite a grocery store, but not quite a bodega, but also all of those things.
And they're like picking out material for Adam to build furniture for the baby, and she has a panic attack staring at a box, like at the same time that Adam is glibly being like, I'm excited to get out of my fucking head for a while, aren't you? Like talking about like raising the baby and as if it's like a
Like a project.
detour. Yeah.
I mean that really bumped me out, and you could see Hannah. I mean, she's kind of spacing out, but I can't imagine hearing that. You know, like,
Yeah.
wow, really don't take this seriously at all, do you? I
Yeah,
mean, it's also just such a convenient way for the father to feel, you know, like,
But as a New York woman who is often struggling to furnish her apartment, I was kind of like, okay, so even if they don't raise the baby together, can he still make her the crib and bureau? Because that
I
would be like
was thinking
really
that too.
convenient.
Yeah,
I
it's
mean, that
the
would be a
least you
great,
could do.
exactly. The least he could do would be a great like baby gift or whatever, baby shower gift.
But
And
this is sort of the beginning of the end, though, for
yeah.
this is the moment that like the pink cloud is like popped.
Yeah, they end up at the aforementioned Kellogg Diner. Great scene here. Hannah's talking, they're talking about maybe finding a new place, maybe Elijah moves out. And then the like getting married comes up and they kind of broach it in a very practical, unromantic way. And then I don't know how the conversation just kind of slows to a stop and Hannah cries.
She has the chin wobble. My friend Tamar talks about that chin wobble all the
It's a
time.
really important chin wobble.
Yeah, I was sobbing during this. Like, Lena Dunham is a fantastic, underrated actor.
Yeah.
And this, like, there's a lot of like technique going on in this, but it's so well done. You kind of just like it feels very organic the way things slow to the stop to me. Like, she knows that it's over, he knows that it's over. And they don't really have to say anything about it.
Yeah, like he says the like maybe it would help if we got married thing, and then they kind of like keep going on fumes and say like we should join a food co-op. And he's like, you'll have to do the bills. I'm not like good with computers, but like you can hear that it's like dawned on them that it's kind of absurdly juvenile and like toxic to have to play house in this way and like treat this baby just like a funny little experiment in like being adults, and that's like not what's gonna actually happen. And
Yeah.
then the gut-wrenching part for me is when he says like, what's the rest of your night look like?
Oh, yeah. That was, so, I mean,
Ugh.
ouch. What, like, okay. So I don't know. I had a few different reads on the way the scene ended. Part of me was like, does Adam realize it, or is it just Hannah realizing it? Because Adam doesn't fully look like it's setting in.
Yeah, like maybe he doesn't realize until she starts crying.
Yeah,
Maybe.
he definitely, that's how I read it.
Okay.
Oh God. I mean, also good soup, very important line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soup. But yeah, really sad. And I don't know. And you know what? I don't know. Also, part of me felt like, did they realize all that in that moment? Are these characters realizing like this is impractical, or is it just weird and sad? I don't know.
I think it's definitely the impracticality of it. These are two characters who have grown up a lot in the 6 seasons that we first saw them. And I think that, I mean, we literally did at the end of season 2 see the grand romantic Adam coming to rescue Hannah. But this time she doesn't really need rescuing because it's not. She's very, like, you know, concerns aside, she's very secure in her new life. She has a lot of direction. She
Yeah.
doesn't need him to come in and intervene anymore. And he knows that too.
Oh, you're right though, Caitlin. The what does the rest of your night look like? Really just ouch.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that like this is really dumb, but to me it's very evocative of like a period in your life when you're It reminded me of like dating someone where it's like not being defined in the way that you want it to be. And so it's like you've like spent an evening and like part of a day together, and you're like, oh my God, I feel like we're in love now, and like we're gonna spend tonight together too. And then the person says, what's the rest of your night look like? And you're like, oh my God, I'm gonna kill myself. Like now I must go home.
Yeah.
It feels awful.
I mean, yeah, but it also could be read either way. But it's so clear how he's saying it here. Like, it could be, what's the rest of your night look like? Want to hang out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
it could be, what's the rest of your night look like? I'm gonna go home now.
Yeah. Yeah, dark. And
Phrasing
I
though.
love Diner, yeah. Just like a beautiful, a beautiful choice, I feel, for filming the scene. It's also like it's so in the dead center of like going out Williamsburg, of like young, like kind of exactly what people thought of the girls cast. Like that part of Williamsburg is where you would live if you were 25 and your parents were paying your rent. And for them to just be kind of like sitting in the middle of it as it gets dark and be having this conversation, I don't know. It felt that felt very, I don't know, like they are getting older and now they're like in this kind of creepy like limbo. It's not going to make sense for them to be like sitting in this place again.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we, yeah, Adam goes back to Jessa, and Hannah is laying in her room on her side with the AC unit. And that there's that image that Hannah laying on her side and the AC unit behind her. I'm like, here's my biggest fear again. Like, pregnant with an AC unit. Can't do it. Can't do it.
The pregnant woman in the fetal position,
Yes,
symbol
exactly.
is a mother and child.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. God, I don't know. Really wrecked me, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, really, really, really one of the best single episode plot lines that
Soup.
of this season for sure.
My only complaint is that there is no Marnie. It's
I
really
know.
an episode with no Marnie.
But
We.
I liked getting the Jessa storyline we got, and I
Right.
did like the Ray Shosh Edie Bryant stuff was all really cute too.
I'm excited to get into that. We should cover Jessa before.
Yeah, we can do Jessa quickly.
Yeah, Jessa is like slowly losing it. I guess the first kind of scene of her unraveling, it happens quickly when she's on the phone with a cable company trying to get the elite packages.
Smoking inside
Elite
wearing a kimono.
channels. What do you say?
Smoking inside wearing a kimono.
Yeah, she's like a just totally baddie at this point.
Yeah, and then she goes over, and like the anxiety clearly overwhelms her so much that she throws up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she goes to hang out with Sample, little baby Sample and Laird in her bralette and cutoffs.
Her like
And
fuzzy bralette.
yeah, I mean, definitely like something you bought at Urban Outfitters for a music festival when you were a freshman in college.
Yeah.
This it's still in your closet
Oh,
and
all that hot fur. I could not imagine that, like.
it's also your I at least became very keenly aware of her age. You know, like she's obviously a beautiful woman and young, but too old to be in that outfit.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe that was on purpose. It was like the I don't know. And she's just walk I don't know. She's totally losing it. That's the
Yeah, and that knit bra has got to be stinky as well.
Oh yeah, the sweat
Gotta be stinky.
glands. Ugh.
Gross. Yeah, she
Yeah.
when she goes to Laird's, she's kind of just like rambling on, and she drinks from the baby bottle, which made me laugh.
Yeah.
And then she says that she tells Laird that Hannah's pregnant, and the baby is. With some Bolivian zipline. Oh, it's some Bolivian zipline guy's baby.
Yeah.
So funny.
That's a
It
good
is
scene.
so psycho though to like she knows that Hannah and Adam are upstairs when she's at Laird's. Like she's returning to the scene of the crime to torture herself.
Right. Yeah, she's kind of like junkying out. Like she goes into a sports bar and she almost fucks a rando.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait,
Oh.
but first, as she's walking down the street, the like dangerous woman needle drop, I feel like one of
Oh,
the
wow,
best of
needle
the
drop of the
show.
week. Really
How could we forget?
really important. And yes, interesting choice, honestly, because you it almost tricks you into thinking she's having a girl bossy moment.
Yeah.
But she's truly not. I mean, the look, so she kind of saunters into the bathroom and gives this scary looking man the like bedroom eyes, and he follows her, and you just see her eyes. She's so like filled with regret. And then eventually just like they're making out and she starts crying and says, I don't want you.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people compare this scene also to in the first season when she doesn't show up to her abortion and she picks up like a random guy and is like
Definitely.
making out with him in the bathroom and he like
Yeah.
fingers her and she gets her period. And like in that scene, it's very like fun and like funny and she's still like kind of enjoying the roller coaster ride. And then this one, she's just like, I hate this. Like, this is making me so miserable to like be around anyone other than like
Totally.
this
Yeah.
person who just abandoned me.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also like kind of like the age thing again. Like, even just over the course of 3 years, maybe, it's like she's matured into someone who doesn't. I mean, she still obviously has her issues, but she's matured into someone who realizes this is like a really scary and sad thing to do.
Yeah.
Did you guys read that scene as like she was going to like break her sobriety and then ended up
That's.
like making out with the
Yeah, I think it
guy
was
instead?
close because she orders a club soda at the bar. She doesn't order a drink, but
Yeah.
I think she's kind of like microdosing her old self to try to act out. Like she needs like to channel somehow.
Yeah, and
But it's
she.
just not satisfying.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if she's not gonna drink, she's gonna have sex, and that turns out to be something she doesn't want either.
Yeah. But
That's
when we see
scary,
her
scary.
lead Adam into the apartment at the end of the episode, she is smiling that he like may have come back to her, but I mean the foundation of that relationship is kind of shattered. And I don't think we see Adam again after this episode, do we?
I don't remember.
I don't think so, because there's just like there's two episodes left, right? And the last one is not in New York, so.
Yeah. And next episode, I mean, next episode is so good, but it's all the girls essentially saying goodbye to each other for one last time. And I
Yeah.
don't think Adam shows up in that episode.
Wow, I can't believe we're so close to the
Oh.
end. How long have you guys been doing this? How long did it take you to go through the whole show?
Has it been like a year?
Definitely over a year. We started doing this in late summer 2022.
Wow.
You've been on a real journey.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we have plans for what's next. I think we're gonna milk the girls thing a little longer and then switch to another show.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll tell you off air,
Yeah.
but unless I've already revealed it on the show, in which case, whatever. We
It's
should
Pretty
move
Little
on. What?
Liars. I hope it's Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, wow. Honestly, that's a good idea.
No, that would
Because
ruin your life. There's like 900 episodes.
I've also
That's
never
also
seen that
true.
show, crazily.
Okay, honestly, there's something. All right, we'll
I
talk.
know there's something wrong with me. I know there's something wrong with I
I
like I you came so close to the edge
don't
of
know. Can you keep it? Anyway,
the
it was
only thing I know
a
about that show
show.
is that one meme where Lucy Hale's like, Mona, you should kill yourself. And then in an immediate smash cut to Mona, don't kill yourself. Don't ever say that. And I think that is the funniest thing on earth to me for some reason. Like,
That
I.
what is that? What was that show like? The Secret Life of the American Teenager?
Oh,
Oh
with
my God.
Shailene.
Yeah, those two shows, I think they were out around the same time, but
Definitely.
they were both on it was ABC Family, then became Freeform.
Freeform, but like
Yep.
those summer ABC Family shows, like where you would be watching Seventh Heaven and then suddenly the like least Christian thing you've ever seen in your life comes on, is and that was heaven on earth to me. Like there's nothing like
Yes.
going to the pool and coming home when it storms and like turning on ABC Family.
Family. Oh my God. ABC. What a time.
Yeah.
Wow.
They really had like they also had the Full House. They had, why did I call it the Full House? They also
They
had
had,
Full
okay,
House,
Grandpa.
Gilmore
They
Girls.
had the full
Yeah.
house.
I
Was it
watched so
them
much
that
Boys
had,
Meets.
there was that like really weird show, So Little Time, with Mary Kate and Ashley and Tyra Banks.
Yes. So
Yes.
little time.
I don't
Wow.
remember like what it was about, except for that she was a model and she would only smell food. She wouldn't eat it.
I don't remember that,
I
actually.
don't
I
either, but like,
it.
it is so funny that Tyra Banks, as an actor and really a real life person as well, has one setting and it's model.
Yeah.
You like put her out of that and things go like even her da hosting Dancing with the Stars, like that went south really quickly.
She stays true to herself. Like, she knows who she is, and
Yeah,
God bless her.
that's oh God. I mean,
Her
that
talk
talk
show
about
is ridiculous.
an influential woman. Oh, her talk show is incredible. That's true.
Oh, it was harrowing. I mean, I found like all of those talk shows kind of disturbing, but.
Very exploitative. There was that clip, there was a clip going around. I feel like every month a new Tyra clip comes around being like, why did we not drive this woman off television when we had the chance? But like obviously the statute of limitations on her like cancellation has passed over and over and over again. Like we're way past
Yeah.
now. But like she was talking to this like gay for pay porn actor.
Oh my God.
And she on like live national television was like, do you like giving presents at Christmas or receiving presents at Christmas? And I was just like, you terrorist, like how dare you? Oh my God.
She's insane. She's an insane person.
Yeah, I would never change her for the world. Like ANTM in its heyday is such important television.
I think I need to maybe do like a rewatch. I think that could be special for me.
Yeah, it goes. I was watching a super cut of Cycle 3, the one with Eva, from Real Housewives of Atlanta, and that gets into like the Harajuku girls, tarantulas,
Yes.
9/11 gets brought into it.
Oh my
There's
God.
a lot of like Philly aggression, and I mean like Philadelphia, Pennsylvania aggression,
It
playing with race, like it's really crazy.
really okay. I think I know. I remember Tarantula. I remember the race play. So I think I know the exactly what you're talking about.
There is not one, but two separate instances 6 years apart of race play on that show. It
Okay, maybe
is
I'm thinking about a different one.
absolutely insane. No, like she did it twice, and
Which
one
was
was for Got Milk.
is this the season Jade was on?
Jade was not one of the race play seasons.
I
It
think she was,
was
though. I don't know, maybe not.
the crazy one from, if memory serves, the really crazy, well, obviously the craziest was her CoverGirl commercial where she walks up the stairs and just
Oh.
forgets all of her lines and just goes like, at the camera and holding up like a tube of concealer. Like that is such
Okay, I
formative
have a question.
television.
I have a question for the room.
Okay.
Do we think people would listen? This is not what we're going to do next, but do we think people would listen if we did like an like recapped a season of America's Next Top Model, or do you think it's like so in the rear view that
I think it would be hard to describe, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
It is, this is when I come out and say that I did have a very short-lived 10 episode American Next Top Model recap show
whoa, how to, I mean,
way back in the day. It was hard to talk about it because
okay.
there's not a lot of shift in format, and you are
Sure.
talking a lot about women's looks at the end of the day. In the same way that like ANTM themselves, they were doing this, like describing a photo in a podcast is not easy to do.
That's makes sense.
But I think watching a season and talking about the drama and like the characters is more like a season by season recap, I think, is even better than like just an episode to me. But
Okay, something to think about.
if we
We
did
have
want
a
to
lot of
tap
other
in and talk
shows.
about like historic episodes of television, though, ANTM has so many good ones. So if we want to tap in on like what's a really good, oh, like the Jade CoverGirl commercial, I think that might be the best episode of America's Next Top Model to me, or the one where Tiffany gets chewed out.
We
We
need
got
to get
way off
into Ray.
track.
We need to get into Ray. So Ray, Ray wants to digitize Hermes' old tapes. Hermes was apparently working on like a project where he interviewed elder New Yorkers, and was trying to like make a statement about gentrification and what's changed about the city. And he and Shosh are like outside of a place that digitizes tapes, and they run into Shosh's old boss, Abigail, aka AD Bryant, which he was so good in this role, the PR girl boss.
So she like Ray thinks he's gonna bore her with his tale of like digitizing tapes, but she's like weirdly into tapes and has been watching stuff that's about to burn out, so she gets her life changed by Ray's suggestion, and now that's like a weird meet cute.
It was a pretty cute. I
He said
also
that his like his favorite cartoon was a
Yes.
Russian cartoon about a tiny cup of borscht that had no father. I was like, they're really going for it with that one. That was like a little too gray. That was over.
So it was funny. I laughed so hard at that.
Little cup of borscht who doesn't have a dad. No, I
And
loved
his
that.
catchphrase is "Papa, I'm hungry."
It
Which
doesn't make any sense. A cup of borscht.
And yeah, it is like we need to find that cartoon, and helps him with the project, which very cute. Very like, yeah, perfect meet cute. A very important scene comes next, one that sticks with me. He, Shosh, and Abigail are all at brunch together. And AD poses the question, would you rather live in a gorgeous building with an ugly view or an ugly building with a gorgeous view? And Ray is like totally taken aback because apparently that's his question he likes to ask people. And I the what ensues is so perfect and funny. Of course, they both have an answer to the question, which they think is the right answer. AD Bryant says this is the best way to get to the heart of people. Okay, wait, actually before we do this, I want to hear your answers to that question.
Okay, I find this question really annoying because they're like, I mean, I guess to spoil, they like roast Shosh because she says ugly building, gorgeous view. And they're like, no, that means that you're like okay with things being structurally flawed as long as you never have to look at it. And it was like, you didn't say the building was
No.
structurally flawed. You just said it was ugly.
If it's not up to code, say it's not up to code.
Yeah, I also have some like follow-ups. Like, does just because the view is bad, like, how's the neighborhood? Is it an ugly neighborhood, or is it just your view is like a brick wall?
View of what? What kind of view?
Yeah, I would need some clarifiers. But honestly, my first instinct is probably I'm probably with Shosh. Like, I can't see the outside of my building. It's fine.
I definitely would be with Shosh as someone who lives in a somewhat ugly building with a
I
gorgeous
know that.
view at currently right now. That also does have some structural issues to maybe raise, right? I'd much rather, as long as the inside's nice, it's fine.
Well, also living in New York City these days, the facade of the building or your view, that's extremely low down on the list of things that
Oh,
you
yeah.
can consider when you're trying to get yourself into an apartment you can afford.
I have neither, actually. I have an ugly building and an ugly
Oh
view. But I'm happy because I am outside of this question.
Yeah, you're like staving off
Hypothetical.
spiritual rot by existing like
I
outside of the
love
binary.
they say like Shosh's like, oh well, that's incredibly shallow, and then Ray says, you were close though, off by one.
And she is just
Was
like,
so
what the fuck is
bewildered. She's like,
happening right
what's
now?
happening?
Oh my God. From there we see Ray and AD. I'm just gonna call her AD, Abigail. I don't need to call her that. They get ice cream and they continue Hermes Project. They interview old people around the neighborhood. And it's very sweet. Like, 80s clearly made for this shit. And she like teaches Ray to be confident. I love it.
Yeah. In rem at first I was like, is this the same character we met when Shosh was in Japan, like characterization wise? It felt like they had retconned her a little bit, but then I remembered that we did see Abigail in Japan really throwing herself into cultural immersion in the same way that Shosh did. Like she has like the same qualities that would maybe draw Ray to both women,
Yeah.
but with a little bit more of the depth we now see, which as a three episode character arc that started with Edie Bryant fire or like eliminating Shosha's position or whatever corporate speak over Zoom, like it's pretty well developed for like a little side arc like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's also like, I feel like you're supposed to see her as like when she does the Zoom firing, she comes off as kind of like, yeah, like sociopathic girl boss. But then when she shows up in Japan and like finds Shosh and Shosh is having some kind of like mental breakdown, basically, she's actually very empathetic. And then the same in this episode, like you can see that she's actually pretty good at connecting with people. Yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like I thought it was like a little cutesy and like a little bit convenient to just like throw her and Ray together at the end of the show and like have them kiss on a carousel, but you know, some plot lines do need to be wrapped up the easy way.
True. Yeah, I mean, exactly. I could also, I mean, maybe this is just Ray has changed too, but I could see Ray being totally put off by a person who's so like she seems just very positive. Like she takes an interest in Ray's like niche interests, but she's also just like Ray's kind of a curmudgeon, you know? But at the same time, maybe a curmudgeon needs like a ray of sunshine.
Yeah.
So who knows?
That carousel kiss was so cute though. Like it looked
It
so uncomfortable and like a recipe for a slip disc, but it was
was
so romantic.
Yeah. Oh yeah, very cute.
I
Honestly,
really Edie Bryant's a really good actor too.
she's great for that role.
Yeah.
I love this episode so much. I forgot this all happened in one episode. I
Yeah.
wonder what Marnie was doing. I
Marnie's
honestly,
at home with Rita.
it's the only thing that would have made it better. That's so true. She is at home with Rita.
Walking to the
That's the
bus
web series I want, like at home with Michael's sisters.
stop.
Spin off.
There,
I
should we
think,
move on to final segments?
yeah, let's do it. So, which
I
girl? Oh, go.
no, go on, go on.
I was going to pose the question, which girl are you in these episodes? I honestly, Caitlin, I don't remember which girl you are, period. So maybe touch on both.
I guess like, well, as I said, I'm now 30, so I don't feel like I'm currently any of the girls. But like, unfortunately, I do think that I am kind of just inherently like a Hannah by merit of like watching that when I started watching the show, like when the show started, I was in college, and my reaction to it was not like, oh, these experiences they're having look kind of traumatizing and upsetting. It was like, oh, I can't wait to move to New York City and make regrettable decisions for the experience, which is kind of Hannah's MO. I'm also like, I always joke, but not joke, that I'm also a Carrie because I'm the writer who makes everything about herself. So for that reason, I'm also Hannah. And I guess I have to remain Hannah, even though I don't support her choice to leave New York or have a baby, which not my favorite choice of ending for the show. I get why she did it, but it doesn't make sense for our journey, mine and hers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah, I guess in this episode, I I did feel I also, I mean, I have mixed feelings about the ending, making her have a baby. But I guess I would say Hannah in this episode, just her kind of really wanting to believe the fairy tale that Adam was posing and then like letting herself get caught up in it. I don't know. Feels like something I could do.
I think I was kind of a Jessa this episode, which is pretty rare for me.
Oh.
But the kind of obsessive thought spiral that she
Yeah.
goes on in this definitely resonated as an also anxiety sufferer. So.
Yeah, we're seeing new sides of Jessa.
Yeah. She's definitely my answer for fit check this week, though. Outfit of the week.
Yeah.
Because that fuzzy bralette in 105 degree heat was like psychotic. Yeah.
Fit check wise, Shosh, I jotted down at one point when they are coming out of the like tape digitizing place, is wearing a truly disgusting like grass green skirt and then a really heavy architectural denim shirt with like puffy sleeves and a collar.
Oh
It
my
was
God.
so like fussy. It was very like season one Shosh. And also, if it were really however hot it's supposed to be, it would be absolutely the craziest thing you could possibly put on your body.
Yeah. There's a lot of room to for hot
I
air to get trapped in those puffy sleeves. It's
yeah.
like a blimp.
Yeah.
I don't even remember this outfit, but I feel like I vaguely remember it, but I need to go back and look.
It's very Jenna Lyons.
Yes.
Okay.
That makes sense for her journey, though. She like is she would love to be Jenna Lyons. I think my fit check, maybe Hannah, naked in like hot pink underwear, which Elijah says is like the only nice pair of underwear she has.
Yeah.
Kind of a sleigh.
Later, she also has like a button down, like tiki style shirt with pink flamingos on it, like but unbuttoned
Oh
all the way
yeah.
down. Like, whoa.
That's also kind of a sleigh. I love her pregnancy fashion.
Yeah.
Then what about MVP and LVP of the week?
Honestly, maybe MVP is Adi Bryant for kind of just being a ray of sunshine and ray of sunshine. Didn't even
Ah.
very
Yeah.
cute. And LVP is probably Jessa, in my opinion. She's poor girl.
Yeah, I exactly agree.
Yeah, I think MVP 80, LVP maybe Adam, because the more times I've seen this episode, the more I'm like, fuck you for this. You suck.
Yeah. No, so true. God damn.
Yeah. One final act of like misguided dickishness that hurts not one but two women.
Yep.
It
And
really
what?
does feel like a parallel to the season two finale where he like ditches Natalia for Hannah.
Yeah. And she's not wearing any pants in that episode either.
Yeah, and like a
Well,
lot of like bedroom hair work in
yeah.
those episodes too. Hairography, as they called it on Glee.
Yeah.
What an app.
What an app.
Caitlin, thank you so much for being here. This was a real treat.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a joy to revisit this show every time that I do. There's always something new in it.
So true.
And what episode did we talk about the first time you were here? I can go back and look too,
I
but
don't
I'll.
remember because also when I rewatched whatever episode we were going to talk about, then I just like kept going and watched like eight episodes. So
It's hard to not do that.
unfair.
Yeah. Impossible.
This really is such a bingeable show, and it's a testament to our restraint that we are able to not binge the whole thing at a time. I think you were on an episode, and I am looking, I'm just waiting for everything to like load, where we did cover two episodes at once, which is so crazy that we talked about. Oh, we got, ooh, we had good ones. We had the
I
season
remember.
two premiere and the Donald Glover episode. Yes. No, I
Oh,
remember now.
yes. I do remember
Woo.
this now because it was that was like peak Tumblr discourse about
Yeah.
girls.
Oh,
Oh, yeah, that was
yeah.
crazy.
That episode where Marty and Elijah hook up.
Oh, God.
Were we ever so young?
Were we ever so young? Well,
Incredible.
thank you so much, Caitlin. Do you have anything you want to plug?
I don't think so. I don't know. What else is even going on in the world? I mean, of pop culture.
Nothing.
Same.
I was listening today to my mom sent me a Bing Crosby Christmas album, so that's another problematic fave. Sadly, his
Aww.
voice of an angel beat his children really
Yeah.
tough, but
I mean, that
Merry
Christmas
Christmas.
album is a staple in this household, though. Or like, it's
Can't
he's
deny.
a beautiful voice.
Surreal, his voice.
Let's
Can't.
add, maybe that's a good seasonal rec. Like, if we had to recommend one Christmas song to everyone, let's go around table and recommend a Christmas song.
Oh, that's fun. I definitely don't have any like fun, unique answers, because I'm a Jew, and so I only know the big ones. I don't really delve into the, but honestly, what I've been loving, this is cheesy, 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 but whatever that Kelly Clarkson one is, I think is fun.
Oh
Underneath
yeah.
the tree. I also like that Ariana Grande one. I love a pop Christmas song.
Yeah, there's some good ones.
Yeah.
I really like the Kacey Musgraves, What Are You Doing New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Really, really like.
Oh. I like that too. I'm a little less of a fan of the pop Christmas and more of the country and jazz.
Oh,
So
cute.
like yeah, I mean, but that's also because we were raised on like Bing Crosby, Ella Fitzgerald Christmas, like a very Phil Spector Christmas. Talk about a problematic Christmas faves. My favorite Christmas song, though, is A Hard Candy Christmas by Dolly Parton, which is
My
a very
God.
sad one, but it's a really good
Great one.
I like songs that are like Christmas is a little sad.
Yeah, it is a little sad.
The
I'll Be Home for
holidays.
Christmas. I was listening to that today on the Bing album. That's a really good,
Yeah.
sad-ish Christmas song.
Beautiful. Well,
On
until
that
next week.
note.
I hope we hope everyone has a nice Christmas. We will be back next week before Christmas, and we will wish you a Merry Christmas or any holiday you celebrate this time of year next week as well. But keep spirits high and
It's
jolly.
so appropriate that the show is like wrapping up at the same time that the year is winding down. I feel like it's
Yeah,
really
not even on
apropos
purpose.
when you watch the finale.
It's seasons of change, seasons of love.
Yeah,
Oh
so round and round in the circle game.
yeah. What a life. All right. Well, goodbye, everyone.
Bye.